are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by the Sophie Mueller to my Sophie Ellis Bextor. He deserves the sun to shine on him every day. David Lim and me. If you tell me I can't dance, then I am going to catch you, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. So good to see you. I'm so happy that we're doing the Queen of Murdering on a Dance Floor, because truly, you and I, JB, we've been going out and having a bit of fun and doing our own thing on a dance floor, haven't we?
We've gone out, we had a little bit of a dance and just a cheeky drink.
A drinks with the girlies.
We really have, though. It was so nice.
It was wonderful. And honestly, that early May bank holiday weekend, I went out three nights in a row, which is like extreme demon twink behavior for me. But one of those nights, you and I were out the White Swan and we had a good old dance, didn't we?
We did. He was a booked and busy boy that weekend, but I said to him, look.
It was priority. No, it was priority to have a dance with the JB. And I love that we got to dance to Lindsay Lohan's Rumours. Like, that was just, you gave a performance, which went up on our Insta stories. And for anyone that caught that, that was like pure joy and highlight for me.
Oh my God, I loved it. And then it went into Ashley Tisdale, He Said, She Said.
It's which almost was like the DJ knew you and was like, okay, the JB is here. We got a residency. And let's that in.
I felt like in that snapshot, like those two songs was the favorite part of my whole night. And it just felt like it was us and then a room full of strangers, but we were all together in that moment, like singing along, dancing, going for it, making eye contact. Like, it just felt so together. Ashley Tisdale and Lindsay Lohan bringing the people together at the White Swan. If only they knew.
I must just say, if you're listening to this right now and you're having a very busy lead up to summer and it's very social, just remember to take some time for yourself as well, because that's something I need to remind myself, JB, you know, like solo time out just to unwind and do the things that mean something to you. So just a little quick reminder, just a little, you know, public service announcement that it's okay to just take time for yourself and do things you want just for you.
The Health and Wellbeing Right Back At You podcast. We'll be back right after this. No, that is so true, David. And I mean, to be honest, I think I was there a bit like, it was like a bit between standing there shell-shocked because it is a busy time and then going 11 out of 10 to bops. And that is how we juggle life, ladies, gents and non-binary friends. You do need to make that time for yourself because you are the priority act of your own life. And you got to remind yourself that you are that main pop girly and live your best life with your other the pop girlies.
And don't forget, you're a young diva.
Young diva, pop girly.
We are all young divas.
Priority act. That is who we are.
Love it. So, JB, look, we are celebrating Sophie Ellis Bextor's third album, Trip the Light Fantastic, today. Part one, we did lump the first two albums together, and that was lovely and joyful. But now we just thought, do you know what?
Now's the time to get into it. And listen, if you're listening and you're going to yourself, oh, I didn't know she had a third album. Unsubscribe. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. All are welcome here. We are here for a celebration. And if you don't know, a pop education, like we always are at Right Back At You.
Yeah, absolutely. And JB, I loved that for both of us, we got to see her at Steps, didn't we?
Oh, and now that was a fantastic night, David. Speaking of good old nights out. Now, yes, you know, I saw it two nights in a row. Oh, and it was such a treat. And then especially because I know she's one of your absolute favourites, David, to be there with you, seeing this queen, like, you know, she is in the highest peak of her career at the moment, I would say. National treasure. And just to see her at the O2 Arena with me, with you, absolutely loving it. I feel like we did get a point at one point when we were going for it in our seats.
For me, it was definitely the first arena show post-lockdown. So it was like, oh my God, joyous that we can sing out loud to Take Me Home and Murder on a Dance Floor and Get Over You.
Listeners, every silent moment, David shouted, sing the deep cuts. We don't want kitchen disco.
Give us bittersweet. Honestly, what a pleasure. In the last 6 months, I've seen Sophie twice. This next time was my first time at a proper Sophie Ellis Bextor gig. It's her kitchen disco tour. It was just pure joy, pure kind of crowd pleaser set, but she was just so effervescent on stage. And you just must think, like, wow, like, this is an artist that we've loved since 2000, 2001. And like, her career is at new heights and new, as you said, national treasure level now, right?
Yeah. And on a well-deserved headline tour.
Today's all about putting respect and love on Sophie's name. But before we get into all that, JB, which I'm so excited to do, I guess we got to read a review, right?
Oh, don't be all coy. I guess we got a reader review. Yes, David.
Here's something I prepared earlier.
Please, can you read us one of our lovely 5-star reviews? Imagine if all of a sudden you just brought out a really rubbish one. I'm like, lovely review. And you're like, this podcast is okay.
We've been doing this for, Joel, when this comes out, how many years has it been?
Four
years?
One more than the number of Sophie albums we're covering today.
You know what? This is a little passion project between the two of us. There's no producers. There's no, like, team behind us. We're just doing this for the love of it. So if you enjoy it, thank you so much for leaving a 5-star review. That really helps. And your lovely comments as well, which we see everywhere. This one is by, oh, you're going to love this. Username is Music Gets the Best of Me.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
The subject heading is A Pop Fantastic Girl's Dream. There is nothing I enjoy more than hearing facts and the bops of some of my all-time favorite artists. Joel's love for Rachel Stevens is so relatable, as she was 100% my first love in life. You guys always have me in stitches hearing about your experiences with the songs. You're the first podcast I've listened to, and you've gotten me through driving, cooking, showering, tidying, and moving home. I love to hear about the artists I didn't necessarily know of before so that I can love them as well. I can't wait to see what else is to come. Jess, kiss.
Well, Jess, judging by the name Music Gets the Best of Me, I really hope this one is going to be right up your street. And you absolutely get an extra bonus point from the JB anytime you mention my love for Rachel Lauren Stevens. Thank you for that gorgeous, gorgeous review, Jess. If you're not already, do follow us at Right Back Pod. Hit that subscribe button. And like our good friend Jess, leave us a lovely 5-star review. Right, Davo, I think we need to get into today's episode.
I think it's time to trip the light fantastic.
I've been waiting two whole bloody day.
So we started our journey with Sophie almost exactly 9 months ago with part one, celebrating her first two albums.
And now we've given birth to this baby.
It's been 9 months, it's due. Today we're catching up with her third album, Era. A lot has happened since Read My Lips and Shoot From the Hip came out. Sophie has had her first child, Sonny. She got married to Richard Jones, the bassist of The Feeling. They are a formidable duo, aren't they? Like,
yeah, dream team, power couple. And then it feels like, you know, also beyond just them as a couple, it feels like she's really connected to The Feeling, their team and their members.
And Dan Gillespie, yeah.
We love to see it.
But really, this was the era where it all kind of came together.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, when you see the kitchen disco and like the kids running around and her husband, as you're saying, and you look back now to this era and you're like, oh, it really was just the beginning of all that.
It's so sweet. And actually, to think back that we've had this journey with her, you know, whether you're a hardcore fan or someone that's dipped in and out of it, Sophie has been in the spotlight from 2000 onwards. And this is a really interesting and personal part of a journey that I actually think is the beginning of her coming into her own power. So Trip the Light Fantastic and this era means a lot to us Sophie fans. But also, like, I think if you've come into her career a bit later on, it's worth investigating. After the second album and before the start of this third one, there really wasn't much, but she did bless us with one incredible dance collab under the alias Mademoiselle EB. Sophie worked with Busface, an Australian duo, and they had a dance collab called Circles, Just My Good Time.
Don't have to overanalyze, I'll just have fun with other guys. You should listen to this advice. You're just my good time. You're just my pastime.
That is Mademoiselle EB for you, and you are speaking with Mademoiselle JB today. So yeah, lovely. So it wasn't like an underground hit in Australia or anything, considering it was an Australian duo.
I mean, I don't think it was like a mainstream hit. It was number 10 on the Australian dance music charts.
It's pretty good.
But the real excitement is a few years later, Sophie signed to the newly established Fascination Records, which is a sub-label under Polydor dedicated to contemporary pop.
Thank God.
Headed by your fave, the godfather of pop, as you said, Peter Lorraine.
Thank you, Peter.
So Sophie spent 18 months writing and recording her third album. There were probably no less than 80 demos recorded and over hundreds of songs written. But February 2007, we're about to get into the lead single of this era, Catch You.
Davo, if you were a tapped in SEB fan, were you aware of this as soon as it came out?
Oh, JB, I was checking for this on the Pop Justice forums. Like, I was ready for this era of Sophie coming back.
It all felt painfully long to me, but she's back with this stunning, stunning, stunning single written by Queen Kathy Dennis, Reese Baker, and Greg Kirsten.
Oh my God. What were your first impressions of this?
Sophie's Gone Rocky.
This is really up your street, isn't it? Because you do love a bit of the pop rock.
I think all our listeners know that I am a pop rock boy at heart.
Edge.
Which is something now in my late 20s and now early 30s, I forget. But then I just have these like days and nights where I get into it and I love it. And I'm like, oh, it's so good. But yeah, oh my God, Sophie, versatile, back with a bang, eh?
This is one of those tracks that's just like instantly addictive from the very first listen. It's kind of that spiky new wave music, Blondie-esque, but with a real electropop kind of production. I remember thinking, gosh, this is a really lovely companion to Sugar Babes About You Now, which came out later in the year. But I think when I consumed it in Australia, it kind of felt like it was around the same time. I mean, this is really like a song about being completely obsessed with the person you're in love with. And I just love the music video where it was Sophie being, you know, we've seen her in Murder on the Dance Floor playing the villain, you know, slipping the butter on the dance floor and doing all sorts of hijinks. We're getting that sense of like pop villain Sophie again in this video.
We absolutely are. Our Sophie is back with dream collaborator Sophie Mueller, and it shows Sophie chasing a guy around Venice. We've got Sophie looking gorgeous, running around Venice and looking for you because she is
gonna catch you.
Like a very intense, like, you know how I love to dream about if these things were a feature film, it could really be billed as a rom-com, but then you sit down to watch it and it's this intense, gorgeous, flashy thriller of this, you know.
And she's got a bit of crazy behind the eyes.
Intense lady, yes. Who is going to catch you? You know, it's like, she'll do anything for your love. That would be the tagline. Like,
now, I know you and I love Sophie Mueller, the director, and her work and everything. Like, I think she did a fantastic job with Catch You here, because like it just really feels like it was art house cinema, but also like the performance that she got out of Sophie, it was kind of like panto level crazy, but still it made it look elegant.
Yeah, and I like that the music video elegantly met the tone, because you sometimes see these songs like this that really go there, but then the music video won't acknowledge it at all.
Yeah, exactly. It dials up the drama, but still in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing this?
Like, I don't at all.
Was it on your radar?
The song, but I'd never seen this music video before.
Wow, really?
You know, she's come back in a time where it was a funny phase for pop music, and thank God for Fascination, because it feels like there wouldn't have been any pop if it wasn't for them. But there was no CD UK anymore, no SMTV, right. None of these like kids shows that was where pop was truly promoted and really seen.
But also you were like grown up now, you know, you've had Ashley Simpson in your life, you've had Kelly Clarkson at this point, you know, where was the JB consuming pop music? Like, where should Al Sophie have been to be on the JB's radar?
I don't know, David, because it's that thing is like, I grew up in a household where like we didn't have Sky, we didn't have cable, but I was obsessed with everything on the Disney Channel, even when I was too old to be watching it. Like, I knew what was going on straight away. And it's so funny of like the people you were tapped into, even in the struggle of the internet in 2007, I knew, you know, like Steph McIntosh would have just been out around this time, like tapped in, as we all know, I had to go and see her at Loose Women. But yeah, she did do This Morning when you look back and stuff. But
she did do quite a lot of TV promo at the time. But I feel like, yeah, the audience that would have been receptive to pop music were looking elsewhere for their news source now. And if you weren't like, say, like me, for instance, in Australia, like checking Pop Justice or like following certain people on Twitter or whatever, like maybe you would have missed it, or you weren't on the blogs, like you would have missed it, right?
Yeah, which is such a shame.
But that was a change in culture that I think this is the part of the noughties where I think you and I had quite different experiences on what we were, how we were receiving music and media, right?
Yeah. And all I needed was, as we say, if in another world, David, you were my pen pal, you would have known how to serve it to me. You would have said, Joel Oi, Babington. You would have said, Sophie's back and she's gone pop rock. And that's all you would need to have said. You might have probably said Ashley Simpson or Steph Mac or something to just really,
you know, seal in the guitar. If there was a guitar emoji, yeah.
And then, you know, I would have been obsessed. Do you think, as a Tapped In Sophie fan, do you think this was like a surprising move, or do you think people just straight away thought, yeah, this is great for Sophie?
At this point, I think I was listening to lots of Girls Aloud and I was aware of Xenomania's work, Sugar Babes, obviously. When she came back with a spikier new wave rock sound, I was like, okay, great, this suits her, because I was kind of aware that she was in an indie band before being a solo artist, but I didn't really check out any of the stuff of the audience, but this didn't feel inauthentic to me. Right. This felt like, okay, maybe she's trying to like tap into the stuff that she did in her early career with what's current right now in 2007, you know?
Now, David, before we leave this track, just for you, I know how much you love a cohesive artwork from singles through to album. And Sophie does that well here. And wow, gorgeous kicking off cover. Little were we to know that this was going to continue for the singles and album. But she is looking fantastic and bloody gorgeous on the Catch You single cover.
Oh, stunning. You know, guys, I just want to say we can all replicate this look. Rub a bit of Vaseline on your face. Throw a bit of glitter on. And voila. Catch You.
Oh, my God, David, I need to see your version of that ASAP, please.
Makeup tutorial coming soon. Get the Sophie Ellis-Bextor Catch You look.
Well, I live for that. I can't wait to see it. If you need an assistant, let me know. I will be free to help. Everyone, if this was too rocky for you at the time, Sophie had you covered, because on the B-side, she had Down With Love, which I think is classic Sophie.
This to me in my heart, and I don't know the facts. It feels like something from the first album because it's worked on by Jules and Stone and Rob Davis, who were people she worked on in the first album era. So I wonder if it was kind of a leftover.
Oh, lovely. I mean, if you had it in the drawer, you'd whip it out, wouldn't you? It's too good not to. So this single peaked at number 8 here in the UK, a top 10 smash hit for Sophie. And as we said, an interesting time in pop. So hats off to you, Sophie, there.
So JB, it's really interesting to look at the chart progression of Catch You because it peaked at number 8 in its fourth week. So it actually debuted at number 28. So I kind of wondered whether it was like in this time of downloads era where the song was released on digital downloads first and then the physical copy came later.
Yeah, and then the following week the single would be out and then you'd normally see a much
And then
you've
got the TV and radio promo that follows after the download release. So yeah, I feel like this was an interesting time in music where the industry was shifting. So maybe that's why Sophie took 4 weeks to get to number 8.
Still did something in Australia, David. Number 44 on the Arias, number 7 on the Australian dance charts, 16 in Belgium, 14 in Italy, and 3 in Scotland. We know you guys have absolute taste. So I think, David, you know, the sun's out today. Let's, and I'm not teasing the third single. Don't worry, David's worried.
Thank you.
Though.
I was like, well,
timeline's wrong. No, I'm saying, though, let's move to the summer of 2007, May 2007, Me and My Imagination. So she is back and she's like, oh, if I've gone too edgy, too rocky with the last one, I am here to show you that I'm showing classic Sophie again with this single. And I think it's an absolute banger, David.
I know you hate to choose, but if you can choose between the two.
David Lim, this is my favourite of the three singles we will talk about today.
Wow. One of my favorite songwriters ever, Hannah Robinson, wrote on this.
Not just one of your favorite songwriters, David.
One of ours.
One of ours, one of mine. I think the pop community as a whole, we bow down to Ms. Hannah Robinson. Sophie, Hannah and Matt Prime brought their A game. Was it a thing if they got into the studio that morning, they're having a coffee like, I need something for my Heaven gig. Or not Heaven, when it was still a story. I need something for the GAY gig, you know? So, David, out of your, what are your thoughts and feelings of this? Is it your favourite single of the album too?
JB, look, to be honest, like, for me and My Imagination is fine. I think after the bombastic and kind of balls to the wall statement of Catch You, I kind of wanted something else that was meatier and something along those lines. And I think going to Me and My Imagination kind of feels like, oh, is it a step backwards to the kind of disco stuff she did 7 years ago?
Well, Sophie and Hannah, I just want to apologize. As two people that have an open invitation to come on this podcast whenever they want, we will drop everything for either of you and both of you. I just want to apologize, David.
No, but we love you both. And I do have a real deep appreciation for Me and My Imagination, purely for the lyrics. There is no song quite like this, in my opinion, and from what I've gathered. Oh, this is a bit personal, but I do love a chase, JB. I am that type of guy. If you're dating me, I do love the chase. Leave something for Me and My Imagination. We're a possibility when you make it hard for me.
I love that you've just been a bit more vulnerable with the audience there, David, and you've let us know a peek into your life. So look, if anyone's listening and they're trying to get into David's DMs or whatever, get in there, but then you've got to play hard to get.
Never give the game away.
This is a music video that would be like JB1 or JB3 would be lucky to have a music video like this. So obviously SEB originally wanted, surprise, surprise, Sophie Mueller to direct this music video, but she was unavailable due to a broken ankle, unfortunately. But I love the music video we got. I think a song like this needs a music video like this. We need this black studio with just bright neon colours and lights used perfectly. Different sets, you know, all indoors, self-contained, but executed perfectly. Love it.
I don't know if you've thought about this, but this was something that came to me yesterday when I was watching the video before recording. That alleyway she popped out of in the first scene, very musical theatre, sauntering along an abandoned alleyway. Do you feel like that could be like a sequel to Take Me Home? Because remember the Take Me Home music video, she was dancing on the streets, right? Imagine it was like a time travel thing and Sophie's back after all these years revisiting the street she was, but it's like changed now. But so is she.
Me when I go back to visit Essex.
Can you do a Romford version of it where you're in like a green jumpsuit?
Not if I want to try and, you know, get home safely. This might not have been your favourite, but Pitchfork ranked Me and My Imagination at number 87 on its list of 100 great tracks of 2007. Now, to get Pitchfork's acclaim, Davo, that is very, very impressive, especially in 2007 when Skinny Jeans and Indie won all. Now, there was a lot, speaking of digital singles in the last single, David, there was a little bit of controversy because whoever was looking after the single releases at iTunes messed up. iTunes failed to add the song until a week after it was released. We got it a week late.
So that affected Sophie's first week stuff, right? Because that was the biggest digital store on the planet for music.
Sophie said she would have scored a top 10 hit if the error had not occurred. And she described it as a nightmare. So it did peak here at number 23 in the UK, which is very respectful. But yes, this would have been a bona fide top 10 hit, or at least a very strong top 15, I think. In Scotland, it went in at number 16. And in Belgium, it went in at number 9, got a top 10 hit there.
Oh, thank you, Belgium.
Absolutely. And again, we've got a gorgeous single cover, but instead of the glitter, we've got lovely stars. So we'll get the glitter over, David, but we'll also bring these gold stars over.
Yeah, it's kind of like supersized from the glitter. It gets bigger and bigger. Look, JB, I'm very proud to say that I have these first two singles now in physical copy, and it's like a real pride and joy when I get to display them on my shelf. Gosh, this era is just amazing for that.
Absolutely. Now, I just want to quickly say, before we can move on to the album, she did give us not one, but two B-sides for this single. Move to the Music, which again, I think is giving us more classic Sophie. And then she also gave us Here's to You, which I feel like is a laid back follow up to Catch You, but with a more electronica mix.
And also, like, really in late 2000s, maybe a lot of people weren't doing B-sides anymore. So we really appreciate this when we get it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when the album's about to come out and it wasn't just tracks from the album as the B-sides. So let's stay in the same month, May 2007. Sophie gives us her third album, Trip the Light Fantastic.
Oh my God, JB, this album cover, isn't this a work of art?
Yes.
Are you holding it up?
I'm holding it up.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Plastic Pop Records.
The JB and I have this album on vinyl and oh, it is beautiful, isn't it?
Stunning. I just love the colour palette, like the pink, the blues.
And her cheekbones, obviously, and the signature jawline. That is a work of art. Hang this up in the Louvre.
And if you can't get it in the Louvre, just get it in your loo, darling, you know? Now, interestingly, Sophie didn't want her face on the cover.
You're Sophie Ellis Bextor. You've got like one of the most distinctive looks in pop. Why not?
Yeah. And when, you know, you're that gorgeous and you've got this strong artwork, it would be rude not to.
I was so obsessed with this. Like the album artwork, the single artworks, I just needed to have it. This is a sophisticated pop body of work. We're talking great songwriting, 80s influenced disco with electro pop flourishes, but also like a good dose of indie rock, wouldn't you say?
It's an eclectic body of work in a great way. It doesn't feel like, oh, there's so much going on, but there's definitely a through line of indie rock. But then there is enough fun, up-tempo, sophisticated pop there for us as well.
This is the result of really good work, no rush, and she gets to work with a range of different writers and producers and gets to cherry pick from the best of them. So we've got collaborations here with Matt Rowe and Richard Biff Stannard, who's worked with the Spice Girls.
Dream team.
Hannah Robinson, who we've mentioned before, songwriter who's worked with Rachel Stevens. There's a Xenomania track on here, Girls Aloud, Sugar Babes, they've worked with them. Egg White, who's worked with Will Young. Dimitri Tikhovoy, who at this point, I guess he was like quite a new name in pop, but he would go on to work on Nicola Roberts' album and also Charlie XCX. And really interesting, I found out that she had plans to release a song called Hype, which was going to sample Kraftwerk's The Model, but Kraftwerk didn't give the permission.
I wonder why they wouldn't sign off that sample.
They were feeling probably a bit snobby. You know, Sophia said previously she wanted to work with the Pet Shop Boys and one of them wanted to work with her and the other one didn't.
That's rude. That is rude. That is absolutely rude.
There was probably still a bit of snobbery around a pop star like Sophie. Yeah. So these people probably didn't want to sign off on shit, which is their loss, really.
Their loss and lost their paycheck. Now, our Soph said she recorded 4 duets for this album. But
I'd love to know it.
I'd love to know what they were. You know, Rachel Lauren Stevens, maybe Nadine Coyle, a fascination crossover there.
Her and Nicola Roberts would make a good duet partner.
Oh, I feel like there's a lot of Cinderella's Eyes echoes on this album as a whole. Like very light touches, like the SEB version.
Yeah, it's sophisticated pop that we grow to love as a body of work and we respect as an album. So yeah, I see that respect for Cinderella's Eyes as well, yeah.
Well, on that note, David, shall we start going through our album highlights?
I guess for you, this may be like a relatively fresh discovery and immersion. So I'm really quite keen to compare notes.
David, this has been a journey for me. This is like a new album and I've had to... It's gone from like, okay, to like, okay. So I'm going to kick off with New York City Lights. David, Sophie is rocky and electronic in New York City. Now, David, I am going to New York in June and I am bringing this SEB energy with me. Get me there now. Take your hand, fly over sea and land. It's the beginning of the end, it's our time. A dollar says it's true, this town gets hold of you. We'll see it written right across the skyline. Come away with me. I could just hear you like touching down the airport listening to this, like, do it, feel it, touch it, taste it. That'll just be me on the plane when they come through with the drinks trolley and your dinner. Definitely those flashes of like strolling through New York, flashing, like looking, pointing, having a drink, coming into a bar, going out of a bar.
Being in Times Square and going to Broadway, da da da. It's like, it's a montage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very flashy. It's like the New York version of, what was that single on the first or second album where she was at the theme park?
Music Gets the Best of Me.
Yeah, it's like that energy, but in New York.
I would have loved to see a music video for this. It wouldn't have needed to be a big budget video. Like, no. just make it like what we just described, like really quick flashes of like Sophie in Times Square and doing different things that are really fun. And don't you love these songs that kind of glamorize New York? You know, we have Madonna on Confessions on the Dance Floor. I love New York. And also Taylor Swift has done a song, Welcome to New York. I love these songs that kind of like glamorize the kind of starting over in New York energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the optimism I love of this song. I certainly felt that when I was moving to London, not New York, but on the way here, I kind of felt all the kind of hype of everything that she was saying in this song.
This is it. Anything can happen.
JB, what other songs have you picked out? Because I'm more curious to hear your thoughts because I live and breathe this album. So you take me through this.
Okay, Davo. As I mentioned in my intro, If I Can't Dance, the fourth single that never was.
I know, what a shame.
Now, David, Sophie performed this song on the short-lived BBC TV show DanceX. And you know how we're talking about everything that's on my radar? A lot of this album and era passed me by, but that performance was on my radar and literally has lived rent-free in my mind ever since. Like, every now and then I'll just think about it.
Wow.
Just Sophie performing this song on DanceX. In my memory, I actually thought it was So You Think You Can Dance, but nope. YouTube corrected me. It was DanceX, which makes sense because I watched DanceX a lot more than I ever watched So You Think You Can Dance. So DanceX was a TV show on BBC, one series, I believe, where two teams, you know, like two judges formed their own dance troupes.
Very similar to BBC, I guess. What was it? The Greatest Dancer, where they have different captains of different dance teams, right?
Yeah, but this was in 2007, darling. So, you know, originated it. But yes, so it was like male and female dance groups. They were forming them as a group. I think they were like singing as well and might have released a single. But yeah, it was really a moment in time. But yeah, I just remember Sophie singing this song. So in my head, I always thought it was a single that had a release.
I mean, what could have been? And that's a great TV placement for a song like this. So
oh, yes.
In my heart, this could have been single number two.
What would you have for the music video? Would it be a Murder on the Dance Floor Part 2 or something new entirely?
No, we're going military style. This song has a real kind of revolution feeling to it. The lyrics were inspired by early 20th century anarchist and women's rights activist Emma Goldman. The lyrics itself specifically, "If I can't dance, then I don't want any part of your revolution," was kind of taken from that in a way. So I would have loved to see like Sophie's there marching along, do like full choreography with like a big troop of dancers.
Absolutely. We'd love to see that. And whilst it didn't get the single treatment it deserved, it did get a placement on the St. Trinians soundtrack. Fascination had The Sound of Girls Aloud, the first greatest hits under their belt. I felt like a lot of these more British skewing teen films also had soundtracks from Fascination. So St. Trinians 1 and 2 and the Emma Roberts film Wild Child were all big singles in this moment that Fascination were putting out. Listeners, do correct me if I'm wrong. So they all had like big pop girl moments and good placements to have. So that was a great thing for our SCB to get. Because I remember like pop newsletters and stuff I was signed up to, I was like, I'm not even that interested in this film, but the soundtracks look absolutely banging. Which I'm kind of lying a bit because I did go and see Wild Child at the cinema. Before I hand the baton over to you, David, I just want to say, one I wanted to talk about was New Flame.
Oh!
Now, to me, this sounds like a Blondie track through a 2007 indie gaze with an electronica filter.
Have we met before, or is that a chance to break the
This song is about developing a crush on someone and immediately forgetting about your ex. Like, my new flame speeding towards me, a new flame to warm my heart. The old flame falling apart around me, bridges are burning. So dramatic, but also like describes everything you feel when you suddenly develop a new crush. I would love to see this in a scene in Queer as Folk.
Well, as we know, Queer as Folk was much earlier than this, but they could have put it in the American version. I'm sure that was running at this time. And then that would have given our Sophie a moment for her American crossover. But it's not too late. Put it in Heartstopper season 2.
Wow, I could hear this in Heartstopper as well. Yeah, absolutely. It's also like one of these really fun kind of indie pop bops on her album that I would love to see her perform this in a pub.
get down the Moth Club, Sophie. I'm just going to do an album track if no one minds.
Yeah. New Flame, anyone? Yeah, let's go for it.
What would be amazing, I think, if Sophie did sort of her own, like, you know, like Kylie's anti-tour, but like, yes, a secret one for diehard fans, and in this intimate environment where everyone was just screaming off the top of their lungs to every album track, every B-side, whatever Sophie wanted to do, whatever the fans really love.
We'd love to see it. We are available to host.
We are available to host and be there and interview you backstage and all of it. So, Davo, what are some standouts for you?
I'm gonna say this. China Heart.
Now, David, this is the one that gave me the most little bit of Nicola Roberts' Cinderella's Eyes.
JB, this song has such an emotional stronghold on me. Like, if there was ever a song that was written about me, it would be China Heart.
Hungry dogs will chase you.
Again, it was Sophie and Hannah Robinson, the great
dream team.
But also, I love the music is also very dramatic with it, don't you think?
Absolutely.
The kind of like galloping electropop production, and also like the kind of haunting vocals in the background. It feels like Sophie's doing like a Halloween panto almost.
David, we've got two panto references here in this episode. Have you even ever seen a pantomime?
I've never been to a panto.
David doesn't even know what a panto is. You'll be very underwhelmed. David, this Christmas, I think I need to take you to a pantomime just so you can see what it's all about.
And I'll be like, well, that was a disservice to Sophie. Someone told me that in the opening bars of this song, you hear Sophie, she goes, apparently the producer took that bit out and she asked for it to be put back in because that is like camp.
Yeah.
That is camp. Like, you can't take that gasp out.
No.
It's a gay gasp. It's a clutching the pearls.
It's the Martin McCutcheon's being run over on EastEnders. So what else for you, Davo?
I must give a special shout out to the bonus track, Supersonic, which Sophie wrote with Fred Schneider of B-52s.
Wow. Love Shack, baby.
At the time, I was reading a lot of interviews and this song was brought up a lot. Even though it was a bonus track, it got referenced a lot because I guess it was like a quirky story to tell. Like, oh yeah, I worked with Fred from B-52s and look what we came up with. And it is a super camp intergalactic love song. And dare I say, if Sophie wanted to do Eurovision, she could do this.
It's the camp cousin to our friend of the show, Sam's Spaceman, isn't it?
All the planets are in alignment. Venus rising. That's the assignment. Love phase is emerging. Signs show harmonic converging. I was like, who wrote this?
Oh, do you know what? This one just gives me poppers on the dance floor. Yes, Sophie. And how dare this be relegated to a cheeky bonus track? But what a way to end the album.
And also, we want a Sync the Pink. Well, we know, rest in peace, Sync the Pink is over now, but we would have loved to see Sync the Pink Queens with Sophie on this, you know, in like kind of very Judy Jetson outfits.
And the whole theme of the night could have been Supersonic.
Oh my God. Supersonic with Sophie Ellis-Bextor. That's the club night we want to go to.
Absolutely. Again, we are available. Now, David, we've got to talk about the promo single of the album.
Thank you. Yes, I knew you were heading there and I felt it in like the supersonic atmosphere. We cannot talk about this album without talking about If You Go.
Xenomania, hello. Xenomania's entered the chat, ladies and gentlemen, and they've brought their A game with them.
I take my love and run. I got you, babe.
I do like this song a lot, but don't you wish you wanted to hear like what else Sophie and Xenomania did? Because just one song on the album.
I know, that is a shame. And it feels like, across, you know, when it wasn't a Girls Aloud album, who we know they did their whole albums, it feels like there's only one track here and there, you know, one track on Rachel's album, one track here. It is interesting that when we see them on SEB, when we see them on Rachel Lauren, they deliver these more linear sounding pop songs, not these eclectic 3 to 5 songs in one that we get with Girls Aloud and what Xenomania are truly known for.
Because I guess Girls Aloud have 5 different vocalists, so they probably have more like range to play with. But this to me, maybe it's like similar to what Gabriella Chilmi was doing, kind of wistful, summery track that's kind of, is it a sad song or is it like more of a vibe?
Bloody love it. Now, David, you mentioned musical theatre before. I just want to say it's Sophie Ellis-Bextor, the musical, and this is sort of everything's resolved and we've got our happy ending and it's Love Is Here.
I do love this song.
Such a lovely moment.
I don't know about you. I'm not really like big on like gushy love songs. She's a very clever lyricist and, you know, she's not one for like in your face, overly cheesy lyrics, but I feel like she's really allowed herself to have her heart on her sleeves with Love Is Here. Yes, my love, I open up my heart. It's a big springtime love song, isn't it? You feel like spring is here.
Oh, yeah. You want to sort of skip along in your step as you go with it, holding a daffodil in your hand.
Yeah, what you're saying, like, it does have quite a musical element to it. So Sophie wrote this with Dan Gillespie-Sells off The Feeling.
And he then went on to write Everybody's Talking About Jamie, the musical. So there you go.
Iconic. And I think she had a song in that.
They did a song for the movie, yeah. Should have just done this.
I think this song is just absolutely beautiful. And I don't doubt that it's very special to Sophie because looking at the timeline of where she is in her life, she has gotten married, has a child, growing her family. So it feels like her life is really like kind of blossoming and Love Is Here is kind of the soundtrack of this era.
Oh, that is so lovely.
That's how I see it as a fan anyway.
No, that is so lovely. And what a lovely note to end not only the Sophie Ellis-Bextor musical on, but our highlights of this fantastic album from Sophie. So, David, this peaked at number 7 here in the UK. That is such an impressive top 10 smash hit album for our Sophie. In Scotland, it went in at number 19. In Ireland, it went in at number 93. They weren't feeling the summer of Sophie. On the European album charts, it went in at 28, which is very impressive.
Work.
81 in France, 87 in Germany, and 85 on the Mexican albums charts, and 28 on the Swiss album charts. Fantastic.
JB, there were some very interesting reviews for this album at the time. Nick Levine of Digital Spy gave this album...
Can you say him by his full name, please, David?
Live, Laugh, Levine. Live, Laugh, Levine gave the album 4 out of 5 stars, saying Trip the Light Fantastic easily fulfills the promise of its fizzy singles. And I love this as an opening line. The owner of pop's greatest cheekbones frolics in a pool of glitter in her storming third LP.
Wow. Now, David, I'm going to ask Nick tomorrow if he sticks to those 4 out of 5, or would he give it 5? Summer of Sophie is going strong, David. Let's go to August of that year, where Sophie releases her 3rd and final single of the album, Today the Sun's on Us. Don't let your shadow spoil the view of what's around you. There's no rain, there's no storm. Though the blue sky makes you wonder, don't you fear, no one will come, will come. Right now we're in the... Today the Sun's on Us is one of my favourite Sophie Ellis-Bextor songs of all time, JB. Wow.
I get just a little bit emotional thinking about this song, and I just am so happy that we get to celebrate this album and talk about this song. But first of all, because obviously I've spent so much time thinking about this song and it's one of my most played Sophie songs, I'm dying to hear what your thoughts on it.
I tell you what, it is really gorgeous. Now, this one with the album, it was new to me for the episode. I'm sorry, gay community, that I wasn't as tapped in. But I was listening to it, I was like, okay, it is what it is. But then, you know, when you watch the music video, you watch the performances, and then you listen to the song again, it just is like, oh, it all fits into place. You really get it. Like, what just a gorgeous, beautiful song this is.
I think it's one of Sophie's best and most underrated songs. Sophie wrote this with Steve Robson, who's worked with James Blunt and Take That, and also Swedish songwriter Nina Woodford, who wrote Broken Strings with James Morrison. So, you know, these are like the caliber of people involved in this song. It's like, it really deserves to be prime time. It's one of those really intelligent and really like beautifully written songs about being present and enjoying the good times, because when things are going smooth sailing or when things are like kind of calm, naturally we start worrying and our mind starts wondering about, oh, what if something goes wrong or this or that? It's in our nature to catastrophize stuff, right? You know, don't worry about that. Today the sun's on us. Let's enjoy this moment.
Yeah, I love that. Maybe I should include that in my morning meditation.
JB, you saw this music video. Did that kind of sell it for you?
What an interesting music video. So we've got this great narrative music video. The drama, dramatic. We have Sophie in a toxic relationship. It has her robbing a hotel room, crying in the shower. It has it all. Now, my one foe of this music video is that it has, especially in like the second half towards the end, it has a fair amount of goldfishing in it, which is normally a big no-no. Now, goldfishing is when you have a song or a music video, or if you're doing a montage, but then you have scenes where they're talking and you can't hear what they're saying.
Oh, you don't like that. Okay.
It's just a big faux pas of a thing to do, because it makes it look like you're overacting, and it can become panto, to quote David Lynn.
Right.
But if anyone can get away with it and break those rules, it's Sophie Muller and Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
And they shot this in Iceland, like gorgeous Reykjavik in Iceland, right? The countryside, the architecture and everything, opulence.
Now, Sophie did speak about the song and about it being a potential quote-unquote risk, and she said, it was important for me to, with this single, to push boundaries a little bit. And part of that is explore a few musical directions that are a bit more unexpected. So it's been nice to release a ballad. I mean, yeah, it's interesting how you look at, because you think Sophie Ellis-Bextor, you think, oh, it's a risk. But it's like in pop, third single of the album, it's quite standard to release a ballad. So good on her for pushing for it and going for it.
You know, for us pop fans, seeing Sophie, this was the first time we're getting a precursor to what's to come with her indie folk albums. You know, this is really where Sophie feels very comfortable and in her realm.
Again, we have the stunning artwork that is cohesive with the rest of the project, but this is my absolute favourite of all of them.
JB, I need the CD single. It's the one that's missing from my collection.
Aww.
It is like so expensive to find on eBay, but you know, it is Sophie portrait, but with a teardrop, but it's like glittery.
That teardrop is gorgeous. I would have that full time if that was possible.
It is a work of art.
That would be something stunning to have framed. If anyone's got the high res image file,
oh,
let's get
yeah.
David a blown up copy.
Going up on my bedroom wall.
On the ceiling. You could look at it every night. She just had a smash hit album. This is the third single. So it did go in the UK charts at number 64. 20 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland.
Oh, God. Thank God for Scotland. Jesus.
We need to do Right Back At You live from Scotland.
Yeah. The Scottish edition.
So, David, before we draw out this episode, it really was the summer of Sophie. with promo from this album, including every pop star rite of passage at the time. I feel like you mourn the loss of never attending it, but I wouldn't want to go personally. Oh,
yeah.
T4 on the beach.
Wow. I mean, I'm really romanticizing this, as I always have on our podcast. Like, I wish I could have been there, but I can tell, like, sound issues would have been a bitch.
Yeah, I do think it's something like, it's lovely, like, and it's like amazing lineup, amazing guests. I just think it's better watching it at home on the telly. Like, I don't want to be in like a beach where I can't hear it. It's busy. Like, it's not like Hoopla. It's like where it's just like so much fun. It's like, you know, straight culture, which is fabulous too, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't have been the most poptastic fun you romanticize it as. It wouldn't have been Rumba, it wouldn't have been Mighty Hoopla in the 2000s. It would have been better to watch on the TV at home to really get the curated view of it.
So Sophie performed there and she sang Today the Sun's on Us, right?
And Murder on the Dance Floor, a little known hit of hers.
Sophie was, as you said before, very prolific with the kind of morning TVs and like TV performances. I feel like she got as many opportunities as she could have and she worked it. But for some reason, like, things were changing at this time and maybe, you know, pop fans were looking elsewhere. Like, you, for instance, weren't catching all these promos. So
no. Yeah, there was still T4, but that's only one sort of channel and section. Everything else, This Morning, GMTV, Loose Women, kids and teenagers are like at school. I know GMTV's before school, but if you're getting ready, you're not necessarily catching that.
No, you're listening to Radio 1, right? You're listening to like the breakfast show or the morning show then, right?
Yeah, or you're just sorting yourself out. You're eating your cereal, you're watching something else, or catching up on homework, or yeah, listening to the radio. Whereas, you know, we did lose, apart from T4, we didn't have those other curated things where it was on the weekend or after school where kids and teens would catch up on the what's going on. So she navigated these waters fantastically and she really got up and out there. But it was just, we saw this across pop as a whole. This wasn't just Sophie. It was just an interesting time where, you know, now it feels like music's kind of figured out what it is for the current moment. But I feel like from mid-2000s, it's taken like right up until now to have this moment.
Yeah. And what a time for Sophie to have a comeback and figure stuff out when the industry was really like changing.
But what we must say is this really, after a big break in pop, this was, to me, a really successful comeback for Sophie, especially when you look at her second album, which is fantastic as well, peaked at number 19 on the charts. This top 10 smash hit album, I feel like the community, the pop fans that really dialed into this, like grabbed it with both arms. On top of Tifa on the Beach, she also performed at Fee Festival and she was the special guest on Take That tour that year. There was a plan to do a Trip the Light Fantastic tour, which then got rescheduled to 2008, but unfortunately did not happen due to, you know, stuff going on, opportunities, things going on, things getting shuffled around. And also these things, when it gets pushed back, she's probably already started working on the next thing.
Yeah, it was really interesting because at the time, I vaguely remember this on the internet, like she was meant to do her own headline tour, which she hadn't done in a really long time because I don't believe she even toured the second album. So really, you would have seen Sophie touring extensively in the first album era with Read My Lips and then nothing for a few years. So she was meant to come back with this tour, but felt like those support slots were a priority. But who are we to say no to those slots? Because Take That has a huge fan base. And going on tour with them really just helps your fan base, doesn't it?
That was a big deal. They were having big acts. Sugar Babes did it. Lady Gaga did it in her early career. This wasn't any support acts. These were, they were getting big pop stars. Like how, you know, there was that Coldplay gig that Girls Aloud were the support act for. It was the similar thing.
Her own headline tour kept getting postponed and then it never happened. And as an apology, she said on her website, here's a free song. It's called Love is a Law. As a sorry, I've postponed my tour. Yeah, those dates were never rescheduled.
I feel like all our faves, we have one of those tours where the dates were like rescheduled or never announced.
Sophie, at this point in her career today, has done so many of those festival slots that people know she is a bomb live. Like, she's amazing live, very entertaining, very engaged. You would, of course, go to a Sophie Ellis Bextor gig, but I wonder if, like, in that kind of late, early noughties, whether people were still on the fence about what Sophie's like live. But I think in this time where we're looking at Sophie right now, this is where she starts to build her live repertoire and her fan base. Everything we see now in 2022 is a result of everything she did from this point on. She came to Australia. She went to Russia. She went like all across Europe from this album era onwards. And we're seeing the building of Sophie as a live touring act from this era onwards.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the start of the Sophie that we know and love now.
In 2009, I believe she did an iTunes festival thing, which the live tracks were available on iTunes afterwards. But that kind of shows that, okay, they're building her as a live act.
Mm.
She has stuck around. Like, Sophie Ellis Bextor is one of these icons that really has never wavered, because it's all she's loved. It's all she's ever known to do. She's stuck at it. And that's why we're still celebrating her as an icon to this day. The Kitchen Disco stuff gave her a bit more of a resurgence. She's had a memoir, Spinning Plates, Music Men, Motherhood and Me. She's got a podcast series, Spinning Plates, which she chats with lots of mums on how they juggle work and motherhood.
I think Sophie is at the peak of her career, national treasure, like owning it, killing it. Also in a way that, again, she's one of those people now that there's so many frequent opportunities to see live, which is fantastic, because it was hard back in the day to see our faves, as we often say. So it's so great to see one of our prime pop stars in their best time of their career going for it. Get it, Sophie, and you are welcome. I'm right back at you anytime. You have been listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. Leave us a lovely 5-star review, hit that subscribe button, or smash it, bestie, as the kids say. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until then, keep living your best pop girly life. Bye.
Bye.